Accession number 18701, Reel 1.
Mr. Law, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in West Didsbury, Manchester.
Which year was this?
1919.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in West Didsbury?
No, when I was 2, my family moved to Bramhall in Cheshire. And I went to school in Cheshire, the King's School, Macclesfield.
How old were you when you left school?
17.
So that would be 1936.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a job on leaving?
Yes, I went to work for a timber importer in Manchester. A clerical job.
Is that what you were doing when war was declared?
In May 1939, I was rather dissatisfied with my job. I thought war was fairly imminent, and I thought it would be better to join a force of my choice rather than be pushed into being conscripted into something.
So what did you do?
I went to the naval recruiting office in Manchester, where they had some posters up saying, "Join the fleet arm, fly with the Navy, be the eyes and ears of the fleet." And being rather naive, I took them at their word. I went in and asked to join. And I said, "That's fine, but I'm very sorry, there are no vacancies for flying duties at the moment. But if you'd like to get in on the ground floor, join the maintenance staff, and sooner or later they're bound to be asking for volunteers for air crew." So I joined on the 12-year engagement and just waited. I did my training as an air mechanic, and completed that and went to the Fleet Air Arm base at Leon Solent. And sure enough, an Admiralty Fleet order came out saying that volunteers were required for flying duties. So I requested to change category and went up in front of the commander, and he said, "Good Lord, do you think we've spent all this money on teaching you to be an air mechanic, and then you go on to fly, you'll probably crash the first time you go up. We've lost all that money." So, no, not granted. So there we are. That was the start of my naval career.
What kind of tasks were involved in being an air mechanic?
Maintenance and repair of different types of aircraft. That was a bit mainly.
This was engines rather than bodywork, was it?
The two categories, and I opted for the airframe category. That was all of the aircraft, apart from the engine and the ordnance.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes. I was down at a naval air station at Lym in Kent.
What was your reaction to that?
Not surprised. Really, we were expecting it. I remember seeing aircraft coming and landing, bringing the British ambassador to Berlin back home and his staff. And we realised then that things were on the brink.
Whilst you were ashore, were you involved in any bombing by the German Air Force?
Yes, at one time I was at Leon Solent, and the base was bombed quite severely. And on another occasion, I was still in the same place, Leon Solent, and I'd gone for a run ashore in Portsmouth and saw some very heavy bombing of Portsmouth.
What was that like?
Pretty horrendous. An awful lot of damage to property and a lot of loss of life in Portsmouth.
Were you in danger from the bombs yourself?
I suppose so, like anyone else. I was in shelter, but got away with it.
Whereabouts were the shelters?
I can't remember exactly. They're in the centre of Portsmouth.
Civilian shelters?
Yes.
How did morale stand up to the bombing in Portsmouth?
Pretty well. I didn't see any panic at all. The rescue services were very busy and efficient.
When would this have been?
This was in the late 1940, I suppose.
Did you go to sea at first with the fleet air arm?
No, my first seagoing trip was to join Prince Wales in 1941.
Where and when did you join the battleship?
I think it was at Rosyth. And I have to look at my service documents to check exactly when. I think it was about April or May 1941.
In what capacity did you join the ship?
I was one of the aircraft maintenance crew. We carried two walrus aircraft. And they had to be looked after and flown, of course. And they weren't used a lot while we were in harbour. We did some flying exercises and general training.
What impression did the ship make on you?
Oh, a wonderful ship, a very happy ship. Everyone was very contented and very proud to be on board. The captain was Captain Leach, particularly popular, an excellent seaman, a disciplinarian, but very approachable. Very courteous to everyone.
What were living conditions like in the ship?
Well, cramped as would be expected, but very good on the whole. We had excellent food, white bread, plenty of everything. No complaints at all.
And where did you go to first of all, set sail for?
We went up to the Orkney's Scapa Flow, where we were doing training with other ships, fleet exercises. And flying exercises, spotting for gunnery and reconnaissance, some had anti-submarine patrols, and I had the opportunity to fly with some of the aircrew, which was very enjoyable. I remember flying around the old man of Hoy and seeing the seals and all the Orkneys. Very interesting, enjoyable.
I think the Bismarck hunt started soon after you joined the ship.
That's right.
Can you take me through your memories of that, please?
Yes. We were in Scapa Flow, and we were ordered to sea. We were told that the hunter was on for the Bismarck. And to the great annoyance of some civilians, some dockyard workers who were still working on the ordnance, the main ordnance, the 14-inch guns, they were complaining bitterly, "You can't take us to war." They said, "We're civilians." And everyone laughed and just said, "Hard luck." They had to carry on. Anyway, we set sail. And we were in the Denmark Strait, as the channel between Iceland and Greenland, when we heard that the Bismarck had been sighted, I think it was by one of the cruisers, Suffolk, I think. And in the early hours of one morning, it was proved to be true. We actually saw the Bismarck, and battle started. We were in company with HMS Hood. She was over to our port side, and the German shooting was extremely accurate. Prince of Wales was hit, and casualties. I think we had 14 killed, 21 wounded. I was on the upper deck, the catapult deck, because the one of the walrus aircraft was about to be catapulted to spot for our shooting, for our gunnery. But at the same time, we were hit. The aircraft was badly damaged, and the senior pilot with the catapult officer decided that she wouldn't be any use, and she was of high hazard, and decided to ditch her overboard. So one aircraft went splash. That was the end of her. Just after that, Hood was hit. I actually saw the hit. Saw an enormous explosion, and what I think must have been one of the turrets took off up into the air, and she was sunk in no time at all.
You mean the turret went spinning through the air?
Yes, yes. Matter of tons. It turned out that we knew, of course, that the Hood was only a battle cruiser, didn't have very thick armour, and one of Bismarck's shells had landed on her and penetrated quite deeply. One of the magazines exploded, and that was the end of Hood.
Could you see the German warships?
Yes, we could. I saw the... It was only half light, and so it wasn't very clear. But we could see the flashes of her guns. And I'm not sure what the distance was, but fairly long range. that her gunnery was extremely accurate. We scored a hit on her, which damaged her steering, and I think punctured one of her fuel tanks, so she was leaking oil. Slowed her down a bit, but didn't disable her at all. And sometime after that, our captain decided to break off the engagement. And we...
What did you see of when the incoming shells hit the Prince of Wales?
I didn't actually see anything because I was on the midship's catapult deck and the hits were on the forward part, the control and signal decks. So I didn't actually see anything. A lot of noise. And
how frightening was it?
Oh, well, I can't remember being frightened. But everyone realised that we're in great danger. And we were waiting for something to happen, either to go on fighting or break away. As I say, our captain realised that we weren't properly worked up. Our radar wasn't working properly. And as I mentioned, the civilian armourers were on board, making final adjustments to the main armament, so we weren't really quite prepared for a battle with a major enemy force, as Bismarck obviously was. So we broke off and set off back to Scotland.
What was the atmosphere aboard the ship after the action?
I think everyone was very disappointed that we hadn't been able to continue the fight. But it was obvious that it would have been suicidal to do so, particularly as there are other forces converging on the scene who would be able to take over. Anyway, we went off back to Scotland. We had a funeral the following day. We buried the dead at sea. That was a very moving ceremony, something that I hadn't experienced before. I think a lot of the crew, it was a novelty to them.
Did you know any of the casualties?
No, I don't. They weren't in the same part of the watch that I was in. Oh, one of them I didn't know. He was one of the first people I met when I went on board, joined. I forgot his name now, but he was a sub-lieutenant, RNVR, and he was an actor. And he was blinded in this action. I was very pleased to hear some years later that he'd recovered his sight. I'm sure you'll be able to find his name. He's quite a well-known character.
What happened after this?
Refits, repairs, and then all the work on the refitting was completed, and more exercises and so on. back at Scapa Flow. The next thing we knew, very hush-hush, we had a lot of very important people coming aboard. As Churchill and all his staff are going to over to meet Roosevelt at Newfoundland. That was quite an interesting trip. We had to take great care of our security, of course. No one was allowed anywhere near the ship as all these VIPs came aboard. And off we went.
Did you have anything to do with Churchill at all on the voyage?
Not personally. I saw him. And one thing we had to do was prepare one of the walruses in case he had to be evacuated at any time. We had to lighten the aircraft. We took off its ground undercarriage wheels to lighten it. And that was the main thing. So everything was ready for him to be catapulted off if need be. It wasn't necessary, fortunately. The actual meeting took place in Placentia Bay, Newfoundland. I think it was the USS Arkansas where the actual meetings took place. And at that time, of course, the Atlantic Charter was signed. And we had some cordial get-togethers with the American sailors. They came aboard Prince of Wales. We went aboard some of their ships. And they were good enough to present everyone in the Prince of Wales with a little carton of goodies. Candy, cigarettes, oranges, all very acceptable.
Were you able to give them anything in return?
I don't think we did. I can't remember anything. Wartime Britain was not awash with gifts.
Did you see anything of Roosevelt?
Yes, he and his staff came aboard the Prince of Wales for a Sunday morning service. The combined ships companies foregathered on the quarter deck, and a very impressive service. You can imagine perhaps 2,000 men's voices raised in well-known hymns, which we all knew. And I enjoyed that very much. Anyway, we set off back to the UK, and on the way we overtook a massive convoy of merchant ships. And Churchill was very impressed. I remember that.
How did you know he was impressed?
He said so. He told us that he showed the might of the British Navy and how successful we were in combating U-boat, getting the convoys through, which was strictly true because they were losing an awful lot at the time. We called in at a fjord in Iceland for refueling. and then off back to Scapa Flow.
What happened then?
There was a brief period of peace, as far as we were concerned. I'm sure we had some leave. And then we were issued with tropical white clothing. And everyone jokingly said, we're off back to Iceland, obviously. But turned out that we were on our way to the Mediterranean. We sailed for Gibraltar. We joined up, I think it was called Force H, a massive naval force, several battleships, aircraft carrier, cruisers and destroyers, to take a convoy through to Malta. It was quite enjoyable, really, because the sun was shining, the sea was calm, everything was very pleasant, until we were attacked by Italian aircraft and submarines. But we were so wide, our ships were so widely dispersed that one minute one could be sitting in the sun on the upper deck, quietly dozing or eating. And next it was action stations, and all hell broke loose, anti-aircraft fire. And it was quite hectic for a few days.
Where was your action station at that time?
With one of the aircraft guns, anti-aircraft turrets.
Do you remember which turret that was?
Starboard 2, I think it was. Yes, starboard 2. I was one of the loading numbers. When not required for aircraft duties.
What did that involve?
The action station has one of the loading numbers feeding shells and cartridges to the gun crews.
What did you think of the enemy air attack?
It was persistent, not terribly accurate. I don't think any of the naval ships were damaged. I think Nelson was hit by a torpedo, not aircraft torpedo, submarine torpedo. She had to retire to jib. Some of the merchant ships were lost, but some did get through to Malta. We didn't go all the way to Malta. We were recalled somewhere in the Mediterranean. We went back home